The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde. Retold by F.H. Cornish. Published by Macmillan Education, a division of Macmillan Publishers Limited, 2011. Act 1.
Part 2.
Lady Bracknell and Miss Fairfax are here, sir.
Good afternoon, dear Algernon. I hope you are behaving very well.
I'm feeling very well, Aunt Augusta.
Feeling very well is not the same as behaving very well. In fact, the two things rarely go together.
Good heavens, you are smart.
I am always smart, aren't I, Mr. Worthing?
You're quite perfect, Miss Fairfax.
Oh, I hope I am not perfect. There would be no room for development, and I intend to develop in every direction.
I am sorry if we are a little late, Algernon, but I had to visit Lady Harbury. I hadn't seen her since her poor husband died. She has changed very much. She looks quite 20 years younger. And now I'll have a cup of tea and one of those nice cucumber sandwiches you promised me.
Certainly, Aunt Augusta.
Will you come and sit here, Gwendolen?
Thanks, Mama. I'm quite comfortable over here.
Good heavens! Lane! Why are there no cucumber sandwiches? I ordered them specially.
There were no cucumbers in the market this morning, sir. I went there twice.
No cucumbers?
No, sir.
Thank you, Lane. You may go.
Thank you, sir.
I am very upset that there were no cucumbers, Aunt Augusta.
It doesn't matter, Algernon. I had some crumpets with Lady Harbury.
I hear that her hair has turned quite blonde from grief.
It certainly has changed its colour. I do not know why, of course.
Thank you. I've got quite a treat for you at dinner tonight, Algernon. I am going to seat you next to Mary Farquhar. She is such a nice woman, and she is so sweet to her husband. It's delightful to watch them.
I am afraid, Aunt Augusta, I cannot dine with you tonight after all.
I hope you can, Algernon. There will be 13 people at the dining table if you aren't there. That is unlucky. Your uncle will have to eat upstairs. Fortunately, he often has to do that.
It is terribly disappointing to me, but I've had a telegram to say that my poor friend Bunbury is very ill again. They think I should be with him.
It is very strange. Mr. Bunbury seems to suffer from very bad health.
Yes, indeed. He is a permanent invalid.
Well, Algernon, I think it's about time that Mr. Bunbury decides whether he is going to live or die. I don't sympathize with invalids. Illness should not be encouraged in others. One should be healthy. Could you ask Mr. Bunbury not to be ill on Saturday? I am holding a reception, and I want you to organize the music. People talk during performances of music, and I want to encourage them to talk, particularly since it is the end of the London season and they have nearly run out of things to say.
I'll speak to Bunbury, Aunt Augusta, if he is still conscious. I think I can promise you that he will be well by Saturday. Of course, the music is a problem. You see, if one plays good music, people don't listen. And if one plays bad music, people don't talk. But I will show you the programme of music I have chosen, if you will come into the music room for a moment.
Thank you, Algernon. It is very thoughtful of you.
It's been a charming day, Miss Fairfax.
Please don't talk about the weather, Mr. Worthing. When people talk to me about the weather, I always feel quite certain they mean something else, and I get nervous.
I do mean something else.
I thought so. In fact, I am never wrong.
I would like to talk to you about the something else while Lady Bracknell is out of the room.
Then talk about it quickly. Mama often comes back into a room suddenly.
Miss Fairfax, ever since I met you, I have admired you more than any girl I have met ever since I met you.
Yes, I am quite well aware of that. I was always fascinated by you, even before I met you. We live in an age of ideals. Any expensive monthly magazine will tell you that. And my ideal has always been to love someone called Ernest. When Algernon mentioned he had a friend called Ernest, I knew I would love you.
Do you really love me, Gwendolyn?
Very much.
Darling, you don't know how happy you have made me.
My own Ernest.
But could you love me if my name wasn't Ernest?
But your name is Ernest.
Yes, I know it is. But what if it was something else? Couldn't you love me then?
Ah, but you are called Ernest, so there is no reason to think about you not being called Ernest.
Personally, darling, I don't really like the name Ernest. I don't think the name suits me.
It suits you perfectly. It is a wonderful name. It is musical.
Well, really, Gwendolyn, I think there are a lot of nicer names. I think that Jack, for instance, is a charming name.
Jack. No, there is very little music in the name Jack. It does not excite me. I have known several Jacks, and they were all very ordinary. I feel pity for any woman who is married to a man called Jack. I think the only really good name is Ernest.
Gwendolyn, I must get baptized at once. I mean, we must get married at once. There is no time to lose.
Married, Mr. Worthing?
Well, you know that I love you, and you told me, Miss Fairfax, that you love me.
I do love you, but you haven't proposed to me yet. Nothing has been said about marriage.
Well, may I propose to you now?
I think that this would be an excellent time to propose to me, and I will tell you now that I will accept you so that you aren't worried.
Gwendolyn!
Yes, Mr. Worthing. What are you going to say to me?
You know what I am going to say to you.
Yes, but you haven't said it.
Gwendolyn, will you marry me?
Yes, of course I will. You have taken a long time to ask. I am afraid you have had very little experience of proposing.
My dear, I have never loved anyone in the world but you.
Yes, but men often practice proposing. My brother, Gerald, often proposes to people. All my friends tell me. Oh, what wonderful blue eyes you have, Ernest. They are quite, quite blue. I hope you will always look at me like that, especially when there are other people in the room.
Mr. Worthing, get up from that position. It is not respectable to behave like that.
Mama! Please go away. Mr. Worthing has not finished yet.
Finished what, may I ask?
I am engaged to be married to Mr. Worthing, Mama.
Pardon me, you are not engaged to anyone, Gwendolyn. When you are engaged to someone, I or your father will inform you of the fact. An engagement should come as a surprise to a young girl. A pleasant surprise or an unpleasant surprise. It is not something that she is allowed to arrange for herself. And now, I have a few questions to ask you, Mr. Worthing. While I am asking these questions, you, Gwendolyn, will wait for me in the carriage.
Mama!
Wait in the carriage, Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn! I said wait for me in the carriage.
Yes, Mama.
You can sit down, Mr. Worthing.
Thank you, Lady Bracknell. I prefer to stand.
I must tell you that you are not on my list of eligible young men, although I have the same list as the Duchess of Bolton. We work together during the season. However, I am quite ready to add your name to the list if your answers are satisfactory. Do you smoke?
Well, yes, I do smoke.
I am glad to hear it. A man should always have an occupation. There are far too many men in London who don't have an occupation. How old are you?
29.
That's a very good age to get married. I have always believed that a man who wants to get married should know everything or nothing. Which do you know?
I know nothing, Lady Bracknell.
I am pleased to hear it. I approve of ignorance. I don't approve of modern education. Fortunately, in England at least, education has no effect at all. What is your income?
It's between £7,000 and £8,000 a year.
Do you earn this income from land that you own or from investments?
From investments.
That is satisfactory. Owning land is neither profitable nor pleasurable. It costs money to look after it when one is alive, and then there are taxes when one is dead. That's all I can say about land.
I have a country house with some land, but I don't depend upon it for my income.
A country house? How many bedrooms? Well, that doesn't matter. I hope you have a house in town. Gwendolen must have a house in town.
Well, I do have a townhouse in Belgrave Square, but it is rented to Lady Bloxham.
Lady Bloxham? I don't know her.
Oh, she doesn't go out very much. She's very old.
She's not necessarily respectable, even if she is old. What number, Belgrave Square?
149.
But that is the unfashionable side of the street. However, that could easily be changed.
Do you mean the fashion or the side?
Both, if necessary. Now, let us discuss less important details. Are your parents living?
I have lost both my parents.
To lose one parent, Mr. Worthing, is unfortunate. To lose both seems like carelessness. Who was your father? He must have been a wealthy man. Was he a businessman or an aristocrat?
I am afraid I don't know. Lady Bracknell, I said that I had lost my parents. In fact, my parents lost me. I don't know who I am. I was found.
Found?
The late Mr. Thomas Cardew, a very kind and charitable old gentleman, found me and called me Worthing, because he had a train ticket for Worthing in his pocket at the time. Worthing is a seaside town.
Where did the kind gentleman who had a train ticket for this seaside town find you?
In a handbag.
A handbag?
Yes, Lady Bracknell. I was in a handbag. A large black leather handbag. An ordinary handbag with handles.
Where did Mr. Thomas Cardew find this ordinary handbag?
In the cloakroom at Victoria Station, here in London. It was a mistake. It was given to him instead of his own bag.
In the cloakroom at Victoria Station?
Yes.
Mr. Worthing, I am shocked by what you have just told me. I do not think it is right to be born in a handbag, even if it has handles. And I do not think it is right to be found in a handbag, in a cloakroom, at a railway station. It is not the way to become a respectable gentleman with a good position in society.
What is your advice, Lady Bracknell? I would, of course, do anything to make Gwendolen happy.
My advice to you, Mr. Worthing, is this. Try to find some relations as soon as possible. and try to find at least one parent?
Well, I don't see how I could possibly do that. I can show you the handbag. It is in a wardrobe at home. I really think that should satisfy you, Lady Bracknell.
Me, sir? It has nothing to do with me. Do you really think that Lord Bracknell would allow our only daughter to marry the son of a cloakroom and form a relationship with a piece of luggage? Goodbye, Mr. Worthing.
Goodbye.